Welcome to the 365 Message Centre show, where we do help you plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed. Chicka, chicka, chick. There was a little record scratch there. The title for today, the My Feed web part, personalising your intranet even more so with a new web part, among other things that we're going to cover today. Let's kick it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
We're back. Thank you, yes. Everyone, for joining and for catching the recordings and all the other bits and pieces. Daniel and I still enjoy doing this, if not for our own personal discipline to make ourselves look at what's coming and what's changing, but also to bring that to you and also to discuss with you some of the changes that are happening. Before we get into it, how was your camping break, Daniel?
Yes, yeah, so I was able to get away this weekend, spend time in nature, and it was fabulous. I had to augment my plans just a little bit as we had a hurricane come through the Gulf of Mexico, and a lot of people were affected in the southern U.S., and so thoughts and prayers go out to them. And for us, it just meant for high winds, higher winds, and lots of rain, but I was still able to get out and enjoy it. So I was peaceful, being out in nature and seeing, I got some great shots of nature. That's one thing I try to do though, is I try to enjoy nature, but I also try to do some photography while I'm out, just to capture some of that so I can take it home with me.
I think there's always an interesting balance there of trying to enjoy that and capture it, but also being present in the thing that you're trying to enjoy.
Yep. I agree with you. It is a balance, and I don't always do a great balance of it. I try to be mindful of, hey, enjoy where you are, with the, you know, take some of the enjoyment with you so you can share it with others and encourage them to get out and enjoy it. So anyway, but I had a good time. How about you? How was your weekend?
Bit of a blur, really. Can't remember too much of what happened. Just to say that, got a few things done around the house, a bit of gardening, and I went back over and did some editing for some of the other regarding 365 analysis post Microsoft Ignite. So
yeah, you did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, and you know, side conversation, and shout out to those who had a conversation with me about NDI and Microsoft Teams and the challenges we have. Yeah, getting into our first and our title for today, our headline, the My Feed web part, and I can see Ian Moran is pretty darn excited about it. Did he say he's been waiting for My Feed since he was six?
Six, yes. Ian says since he was six. He happens to be seven, but still, since he was six.
Nice one. My Feed web part, MC223652. I didn't catch this or any hint of it as I was watching some of the content from Microsoft Ignite, but I was surprised to see it because it's yet another thing in the quiver, in the arsenal of being able to personalize your intranet. And I'm interested to see the kinds of content that it's presenting in this My Feed. Firstly, My Feed is My Feed. It's not Daniel's feed. When I visit it, I see content that is accessible and secure to me. So I have to say this because everyone was freaking out with things like Delve and going, oh no, they shouldn't be seeing that. No, it's what I see. How about some of these things, Daniel? If I put this on a page, any page, and my feed will pick up signals like, what's my next appointment? What documents might have been shared with me in Outlook or Teams? What else is there? There was a couple of other things too. Let me just flick over. Yeah. What do you think so far as you look at it?
I'm excited about it. Like Ian, I've been waiting a very long time for this. I think this really does bring this experience of that my homepage to us. I think there were hints of this for a while for us to be able to receive this and to actually get it. It really is what we've been wanting. And it's not just my recent documents. You know, we can get an access to that. It's not just our recent chats in Yammer. It is all of that, right? It's bringing in recorded meetings from teams and documents and all of that for us. I'm very excited about it for the use cases that with this.
It is personalizing the intranet, and it's getting deeper into things like, you attended this meeting. Here's the recording that was in that most recent meeting. And that, you know, knowing that this is a recording that's now going to be a document or a file, I can see where they can pick up these sorts of signals much, much easier.
Yep, I agree. It's exciting for those that are intranet creators and for those that are consuming the intranet. Whether you're consuming that in your SharePoint pages or you're consuming that in Teams, it's going to be a great feed to have to get you that information. So, yeah.
Do you think, I'm just going through this scenario, I'm visiting my site for my team. I'm looking at some of the pages that might have been created around a project, and someone has happened to put this MyFeed web part on there. Oh, look, I have a meeting. I better get ready for that because it's coming up in 20 minutes. Am I likely to react and see that based on a web part or a meeting reminder?
Well, meeting reminder, I think. That would be the way I would be keep track of and, of course, pay attention to and take action on. Oh, I've got a meeting. It wouldn't be a web part. I think the web part is, and it's similar to the other types of web parts that are for one service, right? We have mm-hmm. a web part for Yammer, for instance, that shows us the conversations that have been going on. This is a web part for us to just keep up to date with what is going on. And it really isn't, I don't think, going to be that one place that everybody goes to keep, I'm going to stay up to date. So all I'm going to pay attention to is my feed web part. That's not it, but it is part of the story.
Hints of personalization. So it might be on a corner of the home page or the home site, but it's just there to say, hey, I know it's you. Yeah,
well, this is it's a perfect web part to put in that vertical web part space.
Oh, the full length vertical web part?
Yep, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Targeted release begins rolling out mid-October, so that's in a few days. Standard release begins rolling out in late October and should be complete early November. Get into it and enjoy, Ian. All right. Now, I am not doing segues today, Daniel. It's just
okay,
I don't have
fine.
The head for it. But you know, if you can fill out a form, then I'll think of something.
But I would need to have that shared with just me and only me, not everybody else.
Well, I'm only looking for your response.
Right. So the next one is forms, specific user sharing for response collection, MC223656. We have been using Microsoft Forms for a while. I hope you have. It's a fantastic tool. In fact, I just set one up for a webinar I'm going to do on the 27th of October. You can go to danielglenn.com/webinar and find out all about it. So Microsoft Forms or owners have been able to create forms and share them two ways, really. Share it with anyone. So basically, it's open to everyone who has the link to the form or to anyone in the organization. Anyone who has the link in the organization will be able to get to it. Now, with this update, which is gradually rolling out at the end of October 2020 and should be completed by the end of November, you will be able to say, instead of my whole organization, be able to select a subset of your organization to have access to your form. So everyone else in your organization won't even have access to the form. So you'll be able to pick individuals or user groups using their email address. And I'm assuming that's a group's address as well. I don't have access to it yet. It hasn't rolled out to my tenants, so I'm not able to showcase it to you. But when you're creating a form, you'll be able to select that third option, which is specific people in my organization. You'll be able to record their name, only allow people to respond once. So if you're sending it out to 20 people, only allow them to respond once, or they can respond multiple times if you don't check that box. And I really see this being, I see a lot of use cases for this, some of which You might want to hide some of the questions from everyone in the organization. Hmm. Maybe they're specific to a work area or a region of the organization. So whether that's a vertical within your organization, manufacturing, or just the office people, or maybe it's just the people in Great Britain, or maybe it's just the people in India or whatever. So you can create a form and know that not everyone else is going to see those questions, because maybe your benefits are different between those different areas. And so you don't want, it's just one of those things where you don't want everybody to seeing what's going on. Or maybe you're working on something that is, you want to get information, you want to get particular people to have, to be able to respond to you and give you input about something that you're about to do in the organization. But you don't want everybody else knowing about it. So you don't want them forwarding this email with this link to someone else and them seeing the options. Now, of course, it doesn't prevent screenshotting. It doesn't prevent all of that. But, you know, it does give you that ability to make sure it's only the people you send it to will be able to respond and see the questions on the form itself. It's going to be enabled by default, so you're going to be able to just use it. Last but not least in this is you're going to be able to go back and use this option on existing forms as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's going to show up for existing forms. Now, you know, it's not going to be selected, obviously, for existing forms, but you're going to be able to use it.
Now, I like that it's following that consistent way of sharing, you know, your permissions, anyone, people in org, specific to people in my organization. That's familiar to us with sharing files and soon to be sharing videos. Good option. And I can see where it could be used to elicit responses from specific groups. All right.
Yes, well, certainly. So I think while you are filling out those forms, you might want to set your presence status in Teams to, you know, to give you the ability to take that time so people are not pinging you, right, in Teams. And so you don't want to have people interrupt you, but you also don't want to keep it on that status forever, right? You don't want to be do not disturb forever, right?
That was so prescriptive. Yes. And oh, wow, look at that. There's something coming that will actually help me to do that very thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spiffy.
Set duration on present status in Teams. This is MC223792. This is another thing that's been added recently to help us manage our availability. I know I put this one on my list, Daniel. I wanted to cover this one because managing availability is my thing. I am really interested in helping people do that, so that they can be available to connect with people, but also focus on work. It's not enough to just go home, right, and say, yeah, I'm unavailable, I'm going to focus on stuff. So this is, I usually coach people to try and set their availability, first of all, using their calendar and things like the My Analytics focus time. Sort the things out that you can do automatically first. But this tool is going to allow you to manage the exceptions. So you might have set some time in your calendar for busy time, but you want to make yourself available for, say, half an hour of your focus time. This will override focus time. It will override calendar time and scheduled busy time, so that you set a status such as available or be right back, or maybe just do not disturb. Set a timer for it. And it's literally reset status after that period of time. I expect it'll be a bit like the status note that we see. We can go down and say, here's some predefined times, but here's another one that you can choose to set a custom time. Duration and done. I think it'll reset back to the status that you were in. So if you were available, then it'll go back to that. If you're still got a calendar appointment that's showing you as busy, it'll go back to that. If you're still somewhere floating around in focus time, it should go back to that. But it's definitely a welcome thing. Though I've got to ask, at the moment, I don't see a lot of people changing that status manually, it still becomes an afterthought. Oh, that's right, I could have made myself available while I was working on that low impact task. What do you think, Daniel?
I agree with you. It is not something that I think it's too many clicks. I don't have a solution for this. Okay. So don't, you know, say, oh, Daniel's on a soapbox and he has no solution. Yes, I don't have a solution. But it's too many clicks to set your status and go all through that. I need to get to work. And it's an afterthought to go, oh, I should have set my status. All these people pinging me. So I feel like it needs to be a little more, it needs to be easier to. So, you know, for someone who likes automation and using I have a, you know, a Stream Deck, I would like to maybe have a button for Stream Deck to click a button and go set my status to this, and maybe have one that says set my status temporarily for 5 minutes to do not disturb or whatever.
That's a good one.
I would like to do something like that. But having to go open up Teams, go click the thing, and then go do. I mean, it's a little too much. If for just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, if it's I need to be offline for a couple hours, people leave me alone, then yes, I think people can think of it and go and do it. But anyway, that's just how I about like the idea. It's just I want it to be easier.
The Power Automate peeps and Power App peeps might end up creating something of a button like this. Push that if, triggers it.
Yeah,
changes
if it's
the
exposed.
Status.
Yeah, yeah. If this is exposed. Then even if you could, I guess, go to Do Not Disturb and then manually hit another button that says, you know, reset or available, then that would be better too. But I mean, I generally like the idea of this.
It's either that or you get into a habit. You actually do plan your availability throughout the day. You are conscious that I'm working on a task, but maybe I'm looking to advertise that I'm open for a bit of a chat, so I'm going to change that to available for half an hour or so. Anyway, this option is coming along with another one that we haven't sort of mentioned as a separate thing, but it has been talked about, appear offline. That's always a sneaky one. I want to be able to see if you're online, but I want to appear offline. This set duration is rolling out at the end of October, expected to be complete mid-November. Fun times. I think, you know, when we're thinking about meetings and planning ahead, as a meeting organizer, there's a few things that I probably should do before a meeting. If I'm organizing a Teams meeting, what kind of meeting is it? Is it one that I want to have a bit more control of the audience and prevent them from coming off mute and things like that? I reckon sometimes when we're in a rush, we don't remember those options. So Daniel, tell us about this next one.
That was a pretty good job, Daryl.
Thank you.
Yes. So this is organizers can manage meeting options in the meeting experience. Okay, whatever. Let's talk about what does that mean? MC223879. What that means, organizers can manage meeting options in the meeting experience. It means after the meeting has already started, you can change the settings of the meeting, okay? This is fantastic. I'm very much love this. I've been looking forward to this because with Microsoft Teams, you can go in and change options. We all know this. When you, in your calendar, there's a meeting options, you can click it, and you can do things like letting people bypass the lobby. Who can bypass the lobby, if you want to be specific on that? Announce callers as they come in. Who can present, all those kind of things. Well, now we're going to be able to change that kind of midstream. So if you're in a meeting and they, you know, it starts to be, oh, this was a meeting with 100 people and most of them are calling in. And so every, you know, I'm going to have 60 people announced as they enter. Oh, this is terrible experience. Go in and turn it off. Right. While you're in the meeting, just go in there, hit the ellipsis for the meeting options and turn off announce when callers join. Or I want to change from who can present from everyone to just people in my organization because it's going haywire and people are trying to take over and present their desktops and stuff or whatever. It's gotten a little out of control with people unmuting and talking over the presenter or yes, there's hundreds of people coming into this, and people are, for some reason, not paying attention to Teams, and they're keeping their microphone on when they join the meeting. And so it's just interrupting. Well, go and change the setting in the meeting. I'm absolutely loving this. It'll roll out in mid-October. We have no time frame for when it'll end. I'm imagining there will be some big, huge, magic red button. Maybe it's Blurple for Teams. And, you know, someone it's on the wall, and someone's going to walk up and smack it, and it's going to turn this on for every tenant in the world. But this is coming for you, for your Teams tenant, to be able to really, in the new meeting experience, to be able to change those meeting options. I hope you could tell that I'm excited about this, because I don't, we all make mistakes and don't set up meetings correctly. And also meetings change. And sometimes you need to change those options right now.
Check out that one. I've not seen this before. It's at the bottom. Record automatically. The meeting organizer and the first person in the org to join will own the meeting recording. That's a new one.
That is a new one. I was going to point that out, that I don't know. I mean, I know what that means. Hmm. I just haven't heard that being said in that. Now, we've got the record automatically. Okay. So I don't think that's something that I've seen before, to be able to just start recording immediately. But then the second part of that is the first person to join, other than the meeting organizer, from the organization will own the meeting recording. I think that's interesting, especially if you couple that with, is that in stream or is that in the new stream, quote unquote, which is, you know, SharePoint. So what is that? So that's an interesting screenshot. I'm wondering if maybe we weren't supposed to see that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that option talked about. I can see it being useful in some scenarios. You'll have to quickly get your word in that. If you don't like being recorded, please jump off, or just leave it up to that crazy banner that comes along the top. But probably not something that you'd use while you're in the meeting. Okay, this is an announcement about making these changes while you're in the meeting. Well, you're in the meeting now, so you probably wanted it to be recording beforehand anyway. But maybe that's a hint to what is coming for meeting options ahead of time.
Right, exactly.
Which is the other part to this puzzle. I want to be able to set these meeting options as I'm creating the event or creating the meeting, not send the meeting invite, remember to go back in and change those options.
That workflow is a little bit wonky, and I don't like remember, because sometimes you forget, and then you've it's kind of messed up for a while. So, So, you know what I really want?
Tell me what you want.
You know what I really, really want? I want a new start page for forms.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can have one by the end of late November 2020.
Great.
Forms is getting a new start page. It's like everyone's getting a new start page. Stream's going to get a new start page too. Forms is featured twice in this episode of the 365 Message Center show. MC223901. Let's just say that you'll be able to go to the app within your app launcher. You'll see a landing page for forms. You'll see forms that you have recently created, pinned and shared with me. So it's following that same pattern. I wonder what's going to be underneath that new form button, whether there'll be templates that or previous examples that you may have used. So you'll go to office.com. You will see that new start page for users who access the forms from forms.office.com. The new start page experience will begin rolling out mid-November. So there's a new start page for accessing forms directly.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that if you come from office.com, you get the new start experience faster than if you actually go to forms directly.
Yeah, and will it look the same? Not sure. But similar kinds of things. Forms, shared with many group forms. Anyway, it is a page. It is going to make it easier for you to manage those forms that you have been working with, seeing it's all part of that consistent experience.
I think one thing I want to point out, and something we just said, but I want to make sure people understand, is that the new start page experiences on office.com. And if you go to forms.office.com, then in mid-November, you're going to start to be redirected to forms from forms.office.com to office.com.
Oh.
So that's why there's a different timing for those two. But it is, so it will be the same experience, but you will be redirected to that experience, which is interesting. I think Forms, and you mentioned this is the second announcement in this week for Forms. Forms is a great product, but it's kind of, for me, just who owns Forms? And, you know, who versus the pro version, which is customer voice. Sorry, I yelled. But, you know, they always put it in capitalized. The customer voice product, which is basically the Forms Pro, is owned by Dynamics. So I feel like it's interesting with some of these that maybe it's switching it. Maybe they're pointing to office.com for this experience, and maybe this is the continuation of the morphing of the product.
Hmm.
But yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'm just imagining it.
You know, do Forms come up in search results?
Oh, I don't know. That's a very good question. I'll go find out.
Well, search results are improving. So tell us a bit about that, and maybe we could put a request in to get Forms appearing there too. It's all yours, bro.
Oh.
That was a terrible segue.
That was your segue?
Yeah.
So
I've got to improve on that.
We are improving Microsoft Search with personal query history. This is MC223795. Now, this is, and for those that have watched the show, you probably have seen us cover several items where the personal security comes up and personal, I guess, privacy comes up. And this is one that you might get some reaction from your users. So I want you to we just want you to be aware of what's happening. So again, they're adding this personal query history to Microsoft Search. It is going to be rolled out to targeted release late November and standard customers in late December with 3 months or more. Actually, 3 months, late March 2021 with finalized in standard. So basically what this is doing is keeping a history of the searches you perform in Microsoft Search, just you. And then when you go back to Microsoft Search to perform a search, then it's going to return those recent queries that you've made across SharePoint Online and Outlook Web, not Outlook Desktop. And once you start typing, it's going to show those search queries. So if maybe I searched for forms in search, then when I go back to search and I type in F, then forms is going to show up for me because I did a search like that. Now, the option for this to be managed, and you can delete your search history if you want to, will be under your My Account privacy controls that you individuals will have to manage. So they're not talking about any sort of admin controls here. So I don't see any, there might be coming, but I don't see any way to turn this off from a tenant perspective. They might have some. If that makes you upset that there's no information shared here of how to do that, then make sure you thumbs down that message in the message center and type in your reason that you want some way of turning this off. I'm okay with it, but you know, you may have some issues with that in your organization, so make sure you share that with Microsoft, because remember, they do read those messages that you send. What do you think, Daryl? Do you think this is a big privacy issue, or is the additional value, which we know, we've been told the statistic is 80% of people's work is actually continuing or 80% of the time when people are opening a document, it's a document they just had open or they were just looking at previously. So is that the improved experience outweigh that privacy issue in your mind?
We're used to jumping into a search box and other various experiences in our lives and seeing what we searched for beforehand, and if it helps us to find what we were working on beforehand or that piece of information faster, then it's a good feature. I don't see a privacy issue with that if you're in full control of the search data. I know that we don't have any, as you say, discussion or talk around the administration controls and where is this data held and et cetera, et cetera. But it's just interesting that you can export this for yourself. So you download that history, and what use is it then if it's a CSV file? Don't know. But at least by clicking into that search box, seeing the recent searches that I may have made and continuing from where I left off, that's a good thing. Don't see any problem with that. It's affecting what SharePoint and Outlook on the web.
So it's kind of interesting to start with. Exactly. I think as we move into Teams, as we talk about Yammer, you know, doing search and trying to find content, I think it's going to be better when it starts adding those other feeds into this experience for Microsoft Search, so that it does show up what we've been searching. I will say, you know, SharePoint and Outlook on the web are two of the biggest ones that I search in and try to find content, but it's not the only ones. So if you're doing things like bringing your SharePoint site into Teams, you know, you're trying to make Teams your central place, then it makes sense for this to work in Teams as well, right? For you to use Team Search. So,
well, that is something we're waiting on, is Microsoft Search to come to Teams.
Yes, we are.
On its way. Do we know when? Not sure.
No, but it's coming. You know what? Another thing is coming. Is a webinar on the 27th. So go to danielglenn.com/webinar to find out how you can bring your intranet into Microsoft Teams.
We need like a lower screen sort of ticker thing going.
Yes, we do.
Click here. Thanks for letting me advertise. No, that's okay. That's okay.
It's a free webinar, by the way.
It is.
With my smiling face.
Thank you for everyone attending. Thank you for the podcasts and peeps that are listening and watching and et cetera. We hope that this has been useful to you to keep up with change, prevent or fix, stay informed. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.